怎么办呢？
该干嘛 ？Sorry。Now we also have members that have had the force for some time as chair of the committee, while some of us had other business in hospitals to attend to. That's member Mavilo there. These are the members that are in this committee. Of course, we also take the opportunity to welcome the Minister of Environmental Affairs, Minister Edna Mulewa. You are most welcome, Minister. We do have an apology from the Deputy Minister. We also do have an apology from the Director General, and we are quite aware where she is. Of course, we also have apologies from two members of parliament. One of them, Mr. Makubela, who's attending again something that all of us are proud of, improving his academic record at best. So we are quite proud that we have got members who take education seriously. So we do have his apology. Another apology we have is a very unfortunate one. One of our members, Mr. Khadebe, last night his house was attacked and burned. We are told, we have been trying to get hold of him, we can't get hold of him, but we are told that his family is safe. His family is safe, but their house was gutted down. Very, very bad indeed. So we just hope and wish that his family is not traumatized by this incident. So these are the apologies we have. As colleagues will know, we have already started interacting with the department and all its entities on the plans for this year and how you will be using the allocations that the Parliament of the Republic has given to you to use for this year. As you know, we have already passed the expropriation bill. Therefore, we have already allocated some amounts to yourselves. But what we are most interested in is what you are going to do with those amounts in this year. We have already interacted with the department and three of its entities. The only entity remaining now is SANParks. So that's the entity we'll be interacting with now. Of course, after we have interacted with the entity, will then interact with the department on how they have allocated their finances to the various entities and to the programs of the department. So that will be our agenda for today. With those words, let's then welcome all of you. Without any further ado, Minister, we then hand over to you so that you lead your delegation. The first item is SANParks. Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable colleagues. Let's start by welcoming this opportunity to brief and discuss with the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on matters related to SANParks, which is about our annual performance plan. As honorable members will know, we always have the 5-year plan, which is a strategic plan, and for both the department and the entities as it is required in terms of the law, which is PFMA, We are now today here coming to talk to that 5-year threat plan, but also inherently in this you may want to extract the aspects that deals with the APP in particular. We do also expect that as time goes on, we will, based on this plan, continue to have quarterly reports, which is about monitoring how far we are moving and how we are moving with regards to this plan. I must also indicate while I'm there that as we appreciate this opportunity to talk to yourself in the committee, just to announce that we have formally and officially begun receiving the new board that oversees this SANParks. It was appointed just about last month by cabinet and also announced post-cabinet meeting. Members of the board are not with us here today. They had their first meeting of orientation yesterday, which was really much more orientation, but the real first meeting was this next month. I think it's on the 15th and 16th of next month. It will be a two-day meeting where they are being oriented. So going forward, I think I'm raising this matter so that you may also remember, as honorable colleagues, that the actual accounting of authority in this entity is actually the board, not necessarily the CEO. So for today here, you have the CEO together with the management members. However, due to that reason that the accounting authority is fairly new and still finding its feet, they are not able to be here today, and we profusely apologize for that. Yesterday, as we were receiving them, I did indicate that we have this meeting, and they did undertake that they'll be around in the next meeting. They have, however, signed off, the previous board has signed off all the records and signed off this plan that you have before us. So it's not a lingering plan. It has been duly signed off by the previous board, and the new board will be taking it forward, therefore. So I thought I should say that, and without any waste of time, ask that the CEO leads the discussion on that. The new CEO, by the way, is also brand new. This one was poached by me to deploy him somewhere, but he has intended to poach somebody again. We are still trying to settle. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members, and the colleagues. Let me quickly introduce the SANParks team. If you hear, Chair, a lot of acting, it's not a Hollywood person, but we're fixing that. Over there, I have the CFO, who joined us in February, Raj Mahabir. He's from the AG's office. He was in CFO there. I have Dr. Henderson, who's acting ME Conservation Services, Managing Executive Conservation Services. I have Dr. Mvusi Songelwa, who's the ME Parks, about 20 parks under here. We have Mr. Danny Pinar, who has been leading Kruger for the last couple of months. He's the head of scientific services in SANParks. We have the ME outgoing joining Kruger, Glenn Phillips, who's head in tourism, but now is also acting ME human resources. We have Ken Max, who is in the coalface in Kruger, working with the team and the general there, leading anti-poaching activities. Am I listening now? That's the team in Shepherdson, but most are made, but you'll see in our plan we need to address that. Chair, I have the picture here just showing that across the country we have national parks. except in KZN. And then we have a portion, Minister, that straddles northwest. We don't have a national park in northwest. That's, we need to venture there to have more parks. Those two, just to give you a taste of them, are located in the Northern Cape. Those are dryland parks, your Grabies National Park and Rustenburg National Park. They are the catalyst for economic development in Northern Cape. The Golden Gate Highlands National Park is situated in the Free State. I was there as chairperson last week. I climbed over. I was standing on top of that rock. It's a tough thing. It's about 4 kilometers. I did with the lady there. She was doubting me that I can do it, but I did it. We also have Wilderness National Park, which is in the Garden Route, and also Tsikama. Those are the coastal parks. Next slide. We do have our well-known Kruger National Park, which is playing a big role in economic development in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. We have Table Mountain National Park. Chair, I can say with confidence, there can be no Cape Town without Table Mountain. People of Cape Town visit this park often. I think it's a healing thing for them, even people of the world. We also have some parks like in Mountain Zebra, which is in Craydock. We also have the Adwa Elephant National Park in the Eastern Cape, and Mapungubwe, which is bordering Zimbabwe and Botswana in the north. Next slide. Quickly, our outline of the presentation, we want to talk to our mandate, where we derive it from. We also want to give a brief background about the parks in a map. And also we want to talk to the high-level structure quickly, but this structure is an old one. The board has approved a new structure that we can present, but this one I'll skip it. Next one. I will talk to a person to the issue of linking our activities to the 2030 vision of government and also alignment to the DIA goals. We talk to the strategic focus areas, which will now lead to talking to the APP, and also the CFO will do the finances, and also we'll talk to Rhino Botchin. Ken will lead that, but I'll add to the end. Therefore, Chair, this is the outline of our today's presentation. Next slide. Our mandate, we're established in terms of the National Parks, the repeal of the National Parks Act, continue to exist in terms of the National Environment Management Act, which mandate us to conserve, protect, control, and manage our national parks and other defined protected areas and biological diversity. We do talk to sustainable development as part of our mandate. We also, of course, like any other government departments, governed by the Public Finance Management Act, and we are listed as a Schedule 3A public entity. Next slide. Our vision is a sustainable national park system connecting society. It's key, the last two words, because our parks play a big role on issues of social cohesion, the pride of the nation. Therefore, we want to connect society. Our mandate is delivering of conservation mandate by excelling in the management of these national parks. Our mission is to develop, expand, manage, promote a system of sustainable national parks that represent our diversity and heritage assets through innovation and best practice for the just and equitable benefit of current and future generations. Therefore, we are looking now, Chairperson and all the members, but we are also looking to the future. Next slide. Briefly, the South Africa has approximately more than 550 protected areas, terrestrial, and 48 coastal ones. That's the whole country. of which 294 of the territory are owned by the state, and 21 being marine are also owned by the state. And they are managed by 13 different state authorities. Out of all of that, Sandparks manages more than half of those in South Africa, more than 50%, about 4 million hectares that we manage, which means out of the 7.9 million, 4 million is managed by us. The total surface area operated areas is about 7.7% for the whole country. Therefore, Chair, we have a big responsibility. As you can see, where you see the Kudukop, that's national parks that you see on that map. Next slide. This is a high-level structure which has changed. I won't spend time on it. I will propose that we move on. Chair, as I indicated earlier, that our staff component, we need to work on this, looking at issues of gender, issues of equity. You will see in our APP, we have a target that we want to achieve moving forward. We will talk to that. It's just to show what we have. But, Chair, I need to mention that Sandparks employs more than 5,000 people in South Africa permanently. We'll talk later about temporal jobs. Therefore, we are the employer of choice. We contribute to capacity of the state and also job creation in government. Next slide. What is our contribution to the NDP and how are we aligning ourselves to the DIA goals? Graphically, we will demonstrate that here. Next slide. In the center of this picture is one of the department goals, environmental economics contributing, economic contribution optimized. Therefore, while I give the coal face on behalf of government, on behalf of the department, therefore, when we talk about issues of economic infrastructure, green building standards, we want to our power supply, about 15% of our power supply should be from renewable energy by 2030. That's our target. We want to do that. What about South Africa's role in the region and the world? We promote intra-regional trade with neighboring countries and also globally. We play a big role in global tourism. Therefore, one example is our Transfrontier Parks. We share parks with about six of our frontline states, if I can use that word. Therefore, we work with those countries on cross-border conservation because we recognize that we can have our borders, our territories, but biodiversity is borderless. Recognize no borders. Hence, we work with those states. If I move on to talk about building a capable and different state, we contribute to tourism charter, the E charter. We practice responsible tourism. We're in the center of that strategy. We want to look at value for money. We are looking at commercializing some of our activities without compromising the integrity of our parks or integrity of the ecosystems. Fighting corruption, you know about the rhino poaching, therefore, again, we know that is not only about animals, it's more than that. In fighting poaching, we're looking at those areas, working with other government departments. We want to excel our drive for corporate governance and also monitor ourselves, of course, being monitored by government and oversight by parliament. We want to also grow employment and the economy. By 2030, we would like to have 6,450 additional employees by that time, which means we are looking at 10% average annual growth rate. creating about 14,000 additional jobs by 2030. Therefore, Chair, in this area, that's what we want to contribute to the NDP. Next slide. On the other goal of the Department of Ecological and Environmental Integrity, safeguarded and enhanced. There's an issue of climate change. Our parks play a big role in climate change adaptation and mitigation. They provide ecosystem services. They absorb carbon sequestration. Therefore, in the reduction of greenhouse gases, we are playing a big role there. Issues of energy efficiency, renewable energy, therefore it's all linked to this ecological integrity. The resilience of the environment, we want to continue growing our protected areas estate by 2020. There's a target of 17% of terrestrial areas that should be under protection. We want to endeavor doing that, but we need a balancing act. We know that there are other land uses, but the world has agreed that each country should grow its estate up to 17%. We'll try and do that. Some countries in Africa are ahead of us. Tanzania is above 40% already, and Ireland, Madagascar is above almost 20%. But for other developing countries, with other resources that are very important for us, we need to play balance there, even if we want to do that. The issues of water resources, we'll work mainly making sure we monitor our rivers, because some of our parks are situated in catchment areas, therefore we provide ecosystem services. On the issue of strategic environmental management, we want to continue with our restoration programs under the working for programs, because we need to make sure that we restore our landscapes, our parks, looking at issue of deforestation, managing also the impacts of other forms of development. Even if we talk about better waste, we need to make sure that moving to 2030, we manage our waste better in our national parks, because we produce a lot of waste because we have visitors using our parks. We also want to look at the issue of sustainable land use. Hence, we are going to drive a program of developing economic hubs adjacent to our national parks, because we want to look at issues of land use compatibility. If we can do a business as parks like in Kruger, why people adjacent cannot go to similar business instead of doing a business that is contrary to that particular land use? But we know we need to negotiate our way in order to do that. We want to protect ecosystems and species to continue to do that goal. Next slide. Social transformation and transition communities, again, is the goal of the department. Again, the healthcare for all our staff, we continue to do that. We provide secure jobs, social protection. We are also improving education and awareness. We are a center of excellence. We are generating knowledge. Therefore, we want to make sure that there are awareness programs. We develop skills. We train our rangers. We train our junior scientists in order to contribute to that vision of the NDP. Transforming human settlement. We have people staying in our parks, our own staff. There's a historical issue here that we must address. Therefore, again, we need to look at those issues. We want to contribute to inclusive rural economy. Our parks can are acting as catalysts for economic development, because they are situated in rural landscapes. Therefore, we'll continue playing that role as our contribution. The 14,000 jobs by 2030, that's what we need. And also some more indirect jobs. There are issues of nation building, which are also reflected in the NDP, and social cohesion. Access to benefit communities is key for us and other stakeholders. And we want to grow our constituency, because there are people who are following parks, there are people who are dependent on parks. Therefore, growing social support is what we want to do. Building safer communities will work with the security cluster in our fight against wildlife crime. But in doing so, we do provide safer, contributing in building safer communities. Next slide. Chair and members, that was part of our contribution to the NDP. Going now to our strategic focus, we have six strategic objectives that we are looking at as SANFAX. There were many, Chair, there were about 18 at some point. We had to cut them down and consolidate. But when we read them, they are loaded. You will see when we start to unpack our annual targets in doing so. We want to optimize economic contribution through tourism and associated activities. We want to grow our revenue. Chair, as we speak, we grow our own revenue, but we still get contributions from government of about 18% of our expenditure. We want to enhance conservation and ecological integrity of our national parks. We want to improve our estate. We want to expand our parks. We want to consolidate. We want to make sure that they are managed effectively. Hence, we are participating in the monitoring and tracking system of how we manage our parks. We want to optimize socio-economic beneficiation. Working with communities, Chair, is a challenging area, but we cannot stop. We need to continue improving this area and be pragmatic in our approaches. Next slide. Principle figure number four is about enhancing stakeholder engagement. The sector is always challenged. Therefore, people always want to know what we do. We want to continue doing that at all levels, starting from school-going children to the youth, even to the elderly and the private sector and the society at large. We want an effective and efficient corporate governance. We want to have a robust approach to enable us to optimize our corporate governance, business processes, and improving our systems in order to be efficient in running our parks. We want to continue strengthening our human capital development and management. We want to have a skilled workforce, even if it means our young scientists leave us, but we know they're in the sector. Even if they go to ESCOM, but we know that they look after the environment, but we would like to keep them and develop them. Slide. Quickly, this is our strategy map. I think it talks to the previous slides. If I were to be given 5 minutes in any platform, I will use this. It will be talking to our business. Next slide. Our MTSS priorities. Next one. Now I'm unpacking, honorable members, our APP. I was just talking about our strategic focus areas. Therefore, focus yourselves in the two middle columns, the performance indicator, and then what is our target. I won't talk to the other years, but we'll continue engaging Parliament on those. We want to look at on optimizing economic contribution through tourism and associated activities. We want to manage our budget. We want to break even. We can't declare income as tourists. I don't know the reason, but we do make income. We also want to our operating tourism revenue to grow by 11%. We want to our products, because as we expand our parks, there are opportunities to have new products on board, whether it's hiking trails, horse rides, 4x4s, new chalets. But we want to have about 7 of those this year. We want to continue fundraising. There are many philanthropists who want to give SANFAX money. We are busy developing a strategy, as we speak, so that we can be able to say to the people, that's how we want to engage them, that's how we want to spend money. Therefore, we want to have that strategy ready by end of the year. We want to increase our accommodation occupancy by almost 2.5% this coming year. Customer satisfaction index wanted to improve from 76 to 78%. Total number of visitors to national parks, they should grow. We are top of 5.2, but want to grow the number to 5.4 by the end of the year. Next slide. Enhancing the conservation estate. We have the MetScore, which is a monitoring and tracking tool that is developed by DEA. Now it's a tool that assists in the country to monitor and measure ourselves, how we implement. We want to maintain our target. We want to be at 70%, which is a distinction. I believe we're there already, but we want to improve on that. In terms of rehabilitation, hectares we want to rehabilitate are reflected there, about 50,000 for the initial clearing. You follow up 212,000, and also want to rehabilitate wetlands. We want to add in our parks, we want to grow our terrestrial by 3,715 hectares, which is an achievable target. Under the marine, we're not sure when we're debating this, because at the moment, we're busy managing, but we're going to work with our shareholder, the branch there in OC, in terms of looking at that. But we're managing some of the marine protected areas. We want to review our plans, which are signed off by the minister. We want to do two this year. It's a work we continue to do. Next slide. In the same area, we want to have total number of species protected. We want to make interventions. That's why the public will always feel that if you put this vaguely, why are you not talking about the rhinos or elephants? Therefore, we have a separate presentation. But all those interventions are captured under that performance indicator. We want to continue implementing six of those or more. When Ken presents what we do on rhino poaching, you will see those interventions. There are more that are also led by the minister, some are led by the department, but for us, we're focusing on those sandbags we'll be doing. Total number of cultural heritage interventions implemented. We do have heritage, rich heritage in our parks. We want to implement about five projects there. Research projects, we want to increase our research projects that are related to parks by 3% this year. We want to also, because we work with a pool of scientists, total number of peer-reviewed research publications, and we want to do 20 of those this year, because that's where we generate knowledge, that's where we share our knowledge with the public. Next slide. Under socio-economic beneficiation, we want to have free entrance, especially to the disadvantaged. We want to increase that figure by 100, because our baseline is 18,000, but we want to have 100 more this year. Our education programs, we want to have two initiatives this year, and the total number of participants in these programs, we want to increase it to 180. At 1,000, more than 180,000, and also full-time equivalent jobs created. We also want to increase that to 6,000, and others to almost 196. You can see the baseline there. Therefore, we're growing the baseline also. Next slide. In the same area, total number of temporary jobs created through socio-economic activities. It's a new area that we want to excel. We want to target ourselves with a fifth of those. And also SMMEs, we have 407 in the baseline. We want to grow by 82, by more than 82 in that area. And also contractual agreements with communities, we have four. We want to have another one this year. It's an area whereby you need to negotiate with communities. You need to buy in order to be able to have a contractual agreement in working with communities. Next slide. On stakeholders, is our proactive media, Article 25. We want to have media events, about 10. We've been doing this even with the issue around the debate on rhino poaching. We've been taking media out just to feel for themselves how difficult to be in the trenches fighting poaching. I think there's a lot of appreciation for that. We'll be doing more of those. Our reputation rating should increase. You should hear good news about sandbags, not bad news. Next slide. Under corporate governance, AG report, we would like to have unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis. Our risk response plan, we need to be able to continue updating that plan. Compliance with our governance requirements, we want to improve that by 80%. I think DR ratings for now is better, looks good for us, but we want to continue improving that. Our ICT strategy initiatives, we want to implement those. ICT governance framework will be in place this year, and the policies and procedures will be in place in order to improve our ICT governance. Under human capital development and management, we want to have employees growing from designated groups. We have a list there that we want to target, growing management from 55 to 57, women from 34 to 36, and then people with disabilities from 0.9 to 1%. These are our targets for the year in that area. And also want to empower our employees, want to have people meeting minimum educational requirements. Even those who are in the job, if we feel that your qualifications are not meeting the requirements because of experience, we've been working for Sandbox for the last 30 years, we want to push those people, make sure that they meet the minimum educational requirements for that particular job. Next slide. In the same area, we want to increase our performance. We want to make sure we do proper contracting. We want to make sure that plans are done properly so that we can reward good performing employees appropriately. There's always labor disputes. We have three unions bargaining in our parks, in the park system. Therefore, we want to have a success rate in terms of CCMA cases. This means working with labor, working with our shop stewards, working with our employees in order not to have cases going to CCMA. It doesn't mean we cannot do corrective action if where we find people are not doing what I expected to do. We want to see progress in implementing our skills development program. We want to grow that by 2% this year. Next slide. Chair and honorable members, that's our strategic plan when it comes to SOs and also the annual targets. The CFO will do the budget 2015-2016. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity. I will deal with the budget for 15-16 straight away. And to begin with, I will unpack the income section of Sandparks. Under conservation fees, we are projecting an income of $365 million, and that is basically made up of entrance fees to the parks. Concession fees of $88 million, and that's mainly the private income from private lodges, shops and restaurants royalties outsourced, retail gross profit of $41 million, and that's made up of the shops and restaurants that operate in our parks on an outsourced basis, so the royalties from those, and the petrol from the garages that we operate. Tourism income, which is our big income generator of $664 million, and that's basically made up of accommodation, camps, and drives. Other income of $39 million, which is basically rental recoveries from staff, swimming rights, etc. And then, of course, the DR conservation grant of $472 million, the grant for roads of $11 million, and forestry of $19 million, giving us a total income for the budget year of $1.7 billion. In terms of the expenditure section, human resource costs of 903 million, and that is a focus of attention for the Exco and the board, in the sense that it's averaging 58%. We are trying to get that down a little bit. One of the key drivers is our investment in security personnel, given the challenges we are experiencing in mainly Kruger and some of our other parks, so there's a huge investment in the ranger corps and security personnel as well. Maintenance of 79 million, depreciation of 96 million, and operating cost of 478 million. And earlier we heard the CEO say that we generate income to cover about 82% of our operating cost. But nonetheless, there is an ongoing challenge in terms of infrastructure spend and upkeep. We have about 10 billion rand in 4 million hectares of property of infrastructure, and that needs ongoing maintenance and upkeep, and that's basically our challenge for the future. Interest received of 16 million, and then the rest of the smaller numbers at the bottom are additional grant income for land acquisition, sales on fauna and flora, that's a 50 million, that's a significant number, and donations of 5.6 million. Giving us a net income of 230 million, but that's in fact a technical reserve for future depreciation to be incurred on capital expenditure that's in work in progress currently. So that gives us then a break-even budget for the 15-16 period. The other point I think that CEO has covered briefly is our contribution to local communities in terms of certain interventions and activities. And we actually generate a 1%, or we allocate 1% of tourism income to those activities, and that's roughly 6.6 million rand that we top slice from the tourism income revenue of 664 million. So that's the brief overview of the sandbox budget for the 15-16 period. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to field them. Thank you.
Chair, I'll hand over to Ken to do Rhino Bridge at the end of his slide.
Morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. I'd like to just give a little bit of a snapshot of what is happening, what happened last year, and what's happened this year to give you an idea of the intensity of this particular campaign, and hence the resources and that are required, and certainly the strategy going forward. Taking a look at last year, we had roughly 2,300 incidents in the park. That translates to close to 5,000 poachers on foot in our park with only one intention, and that was to kill rhino. No other reason. We had at least 1,500 firearms. So when we talk confrontation with rangers, security forces, that is in fact what they're up against. And next slide, please. This year alone, we've had over 618 incidents. The different bubbles in the north and south of the park give you an idea of the breakdown between east and west and the different regions as to the number of incidents, the number of poachers that we have estimated to have been in our park, and the number of firearms that were actively focused in killing rhino. So one can see, let's call it the onslaught, is intensive. It's day and night, 24/7, doesn't stop. We have a little bit of respite now and again in terms of weather or possibly dark moon phases, but generally 365 days of the year, we have at least 4 poacher groups in our park. Sometimes during the full moon periods, we have between 10 and 20 poaching groups, well-armed, hunting rhino. If you look at the activities that we've been recording, and activities are the incidents. In fact, those are incursions into the park. The top line, the activities, gives you an idea since 2012 how it's escalated in terms of the incursions, and the yellow line gives us an indication of the number of animals incidents that have occurred. So you will see, although you know our efficiency can be questioned in terms of tackling the issue, the top line is the potential rhino that we could have lost in the same period. Just last year, we did lose 827 rhino. But if you look at the intensity of incursions, amount of poachers' feet on the ground, we should have lost well over 1,500 rhino should each of the groups been successful in their objective. Okay. Looking now into the future, we're basically looking, our strategy involves dividing the park up into protection zones, and our focus right now, or intensive focus really, is the ITZ in the south of the park, as indicated there, which holds 60% of our rhino. Huge concentrations, so we will be looking at really strengthening almost a fortress effect for the south of the park to protect those rhino populations. Drilling down into the intensive protection zone, really what we're looking at here is improving our detection capability by way of modern high-tech technologies, and strengthening our reactive capability in the park, bearing in mind that most of our work, Sandpass's work, is reactive in nature because the poachers are already in the park, come across the boundary. But as part of our strategy, looking within the intensive protection zone is going to be really critical in protecting some of the larger populations of rhino that we have in the country. To do this, we really need all the help we can get. Sandparks ourselves are fully committed with the special projects team, field rangers, section rangers. We have even trails rangers now have joined our ranks. We have an air wing, we have protection services, and we have an environmental crime investigation unit supporting us. On the other hand, we have committed SANDF to the eastern boundary, particularly the eastern boundary with Mozambique, and we have SAPS interventions by way of current localized police stations and their presence, as well as we've now had the influx of specialized units from the detectives, from the Hawks, as well as from the air wing. And then, of course, we work very closely in continuing or to strive for creating the alliances and the communication and cooperation of our neighbors in Mozambique, as well as along the southern and western borders of the Kruger. The police deployments in the park, not only in the park, we do have committed and sustained police activity in the park by way of the two different police stations, Kakuza Police Station, as well as the border entries at Pafuri and Giriondo. But we also have a commitment now from the Hawks, as well as from the general detectives in operations outside the park. As we all know, I'm not going to go dwell on this slide too long, but really we have 22 section rangers at any one time. We have over 350 rangers deployed 24/7 in the park, whose primary objective really is to ensure the area integrity of the park. Looking along our borders and developing and maintaining our alliance with partners that have committed themselves to assist. In other words, we've regionalized our efforts rather than just focusing on Kruger itself, regionalized our efforts, and we control or coordinate all of these different operations, alliance, and partners from both Mozambique as well as the South African side, both west and south of the park, by way of a joint operation center in Skukuza that brings all of this, coordinates our efforts from a regional perspective rather than just inside Kruger. I think we all know what we need to deal with, but our focus now is really part of our strategy is to ensure that we actually clear the park from the outside. We cannot do it alone inside the park. It is very difficult, as you think you saw the numbers of poachers coming in. But so our efforts in terms of external assistance should be, you know, from level 2 up to level 5. We focus really basically on the first level inside the park. We do go into the surrounding areas, but very limited because of our mandate. And therefore, we require and rely on the support of the security cluster to make or to equal the kind of efforts that we have in the park. We require that same effort outside the park. Rhino Horn, the prices being paid are just going up. Of course, you know, the more controls you bring to play, the higher the price will go. Thank you. We need to really address these issues. Intelligence, particularly from outside the park, focusing on the activities of the syndicates, the higher levels of the syndicates is critical. We need to break those chains. We need support and a concerted effort in the intelligence. It's not a lack of intelligence. It's coordinating it and making sure that it works for you. Investigation of crime scenes. You can understand we lose sometimes three animals a day in a vast area, almost the size of Israel. It's very difficult. So crime scene support. The police are coming to the fore now, but obviously we require assistance. Integrity management in terms of inside the park, we certainly are not naive to understand that with that kind of money outside, that the focus will definitely be on our own employees, corruption, collusion, and so we have a special focus in that particular area. The intensity of the poaching activity now is, I mean, it's immense. It really is. You had a glimpse of what we were exposed to last year and certainly at the beginning of this year. The poachers are extending their base. They continue. There is no limit to the number of poachers. There is just a steady flow, and no matter how many you arrest, there's just a steady flow of poachers. Every day we're finding new faces. Yeah, some of them are getting younger. It is just a continuous stream, both from Mozambique as well as from the western side. And we're having multiple infiltrations. This last weekend, we estimated just in one section of the park, we probably had about 8 to 10 poaching groups at any one time. So it's multiple infiltrations happening throughout the park, both from the east and from the west. The game changers that we've identified, certainly intensive protection zone, our IPZ, it's critical. We need to break the crime networks, and there we need support from the police. We need to get to grips with the higher echelons that operate within our country. We need to change the Mozambican situation. We require a lot of effort. There's a lot of support currently, and a lot of effort being put in by the Mozambican authorities, which is really encouraging, but it will need to be sustained. And the number of Mozambicans living illegally within South Africa, particularly along our boundary, are making it very easy for Mozambican poaching groups to engage or to come into the park from the western side. So Mozambican citizens operating from both Mozambique and South Africa is becoming a really big issue. Okay. As part of the IPZ, we talk technologies. Really, all this slide says is that we want to improve our technology. We want to assist the ranger on the ground, or the policeman, or the soldier on the ground in the park. We want to enhance his capability of detection. So, and we then need to make sure that this information gleaned from all sources of technology, from visual eyesight, from the ranger themselves, to high-tech thermal cameras, detection devices, sensors, streamed into an operation center, which is manned by ourselves, the police and the army, and we do joint planning and reaction. And in essence, that is what we're looking at in terms of the IPZ. It's really enhancing our efforts with technology. Okay. This slide really focuses on one of the critical areas, and unfortunately for us, it's very difficult sitting in the park. But we have thousands of poachers on the one end, in the Kruger, and we've of course got the end users, thousands if not millions. But in between, they are a small group that are moving rhino on from our shores to the Far East. And we need to break those chains. We need serious intervention from our colleagues in the security cluster that can operate further and further afield. Okay. Our initiatives in Mozambique are ongoing, working very well, close to the border. We in Operation Capricorn and Operation Rubicon, where we engage locally with the Mozambican authorities, and we've achieved great successes, and they have themselves achieved great successes along our border in disrupting the poaching groups that are coming into the park. Further and further afield, we need Operation Lebomba needs to get underway officially, so that we can make a concerted effort right, you know, from Maputo all the way to our border requires a lot of a sustained effort. Okay. So in essence, our grand strategy, you know, we have the assets in the park, unfortunately. It's on our watch. We have to protect them. The key lies in the communities and our allies, developing those alliances with the communities and our neighbors. We need to focus on the crime networks. They're very difficult to get to, but we need to focus on them. We need to disrupt them. And of course, we need international collaboration. The efforts that have been put in the park need to be mimicked as we move away from the boundary.
Last one, Chair and honored members, there's always a future. You can listen to the tone of the presenter, the level of frustration. But we always in ourselves says it's not enough. Our rangers are in contact with poachers on a daily basis, day and night. It's like a war there. that we get cooperation from the cluster. But it's never enough, of course. The support we're getting from the minister, the department, but the things intensify big time. We have detectives on site looking at cases, but we need to enhance our cooperation. We are flagging this line just at the new areas that we need to look at, that we are going to engage, like the retention of the court in Skukuza, so that we would like all rhino cases in Skukuza to be handled in the back. But in terms of that demarcation, the police and the justice system, they will say this area is in Mpumalanga, this area is in Mpopo, therefore the case must go to Nelspruit or the case must go to Paraboro. We would like to see the court in Skukuza doing everything. We have said this thing, we're just emphasizing, because that is not for this portfolio committee alone. The issue of speeding up cases, turnaround time, the issue of strict bail and maximum sentences, we've seen those. We are just saying we want to see more of those. Ken spoke about the youth, the age group now that we see entering the park is youth, younger people, which means they are recruited. We are talking to Mozambicans. We want to start a youth program with Mozambique. We do have funding for this, but again, it's not negotiations. They have started because you need to talk to key departments or key people. Therefore, the youth program is going to start soon, because if we don't talk to the 15-year-olds, when they get to 18 years, they're already poachers. Therefore, they look at us badly. Therefore, I want to start that and show the other side of us. Formalization of Oxlabombo will continue to cooperate again between SAFS and Mozambique Police. Ken has spoken to some of this. We are also, through the department, trying to talk to Home Affairs again, because we realize that the Mozambicans now, share, they have moved from the east. They are on the South African side. Now we see more incursions from the South African side. But previously, it was more from the east, from Mozambique, which they moved around. Therefore, Home Affairs, we're not calling it a victim, so they were using the wrong language there. We need something to be done there. And also, there are three provincial parks are joining us. You have Makuya, you have Letaba in Mpopo, Makuya in Mpopo, and your Manyeleti in Mpumalanga. It's our view that perhaps those should be part of Kruger, because we see loopholes there. There's lack of capacity by the provinces, but again, through the department, we start engaging. We are mentioning these things here because even at the provincial level, there might be uneasiness to engage us on this thing. So they will feel like they are taking a reserve belonging to Mpumalanga or to Limpopo, to national. But it's still there, the bottom line, but we can enhance things on the ground. Community projects, we as I indicated, want to enhance this. There's one area that called Ngambeni, is south of Kruger, southwest of Kruger. Therefore, that area, because of the railway line, we would like to see it proclaimed, but we'll do the paperwork properly to the department. Of course, the proclamation of a portion of the park is done by Parliament. I'm just flagging these issues, but more engagements will continue with the department until such time we elevate all the things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleagues, the Brian grand new CEO, grand new CFO, and their own colleagues present. And let's welcome the presentation, and then we will then ask members to interact with the presentation. Members, it's now in your hands. Our members, Daniel, any other taker? Bonomi, Madilo, in that order.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much to Sand Parks for a very interesting presentation, very comprehensive, very self-explanatory. It would have been lovely to have this yesterday rather than this morning. So I'm trying to think on my feet here, and if I could just have the patience, and Chair, you will guide me when you think I've used my time allocation, but I have a number of things that I want to get through, and if I, at least if I can be assured that I will have a second bite.
No, let's make things easier. Ask three questions so that we allow it, then we will have another bite.
Thank you, Chair. Noting some of the things on your presentation, I see that your target for 2018-19 is to have 18,000 people have access to the Sand Parks. Now, that's less than a tenth of a percent of South Africa's population. I think ideally we would like to see hundreds of thousands of people having access to our national parks. We know access has been an issue as part of our unjust past, and I think we need to see more inclusion and access to our South African national parks. So I'd just like a comment on that. I know that we have 1 week of where Sand Parks are open to the public, but I think that more needs to be done there. In terms of community upliftment and increasing revenue streams, you mentioned that there's a fundraising policy that's going to be developed. Now, I want to know your thoughts about having a conservation and education levy that is added, whether it be voluntary basis, because we don't want that money going into national treasury, because there's no ring fencing in treasury, and that money just disappearing into the national fiscus. But is there the potential for a voluntary levy conservation, which will be used then for conservation and education and community upliftment programs? Then I want to know, I certainly did the calculations on that graph with the diagram with the face the facts on page 16 of the printout. I'm not sure which slide it is, but there has been a significant move to the southwest infiltration. That is completely obvious. It's almost doubled, in fact. So my original question was going to be about how we secure the Mozambican border with South Africa along the Kruger National Park. But clearly you've concentrated a lot of efforts there, and now that is of course moving these syndicates to another entry. Now, Mr. Mkateni has mentioned that you are looking at perhaps including Inkambeni on the southwest. I think that those are absolutely things that need to be looked at. You guys are fighting an incredible insurgence of illegal activity, which is actually not really your mandate. And as you say, you know, you're trying to be as reactive as possible. But securing the border, securing and preventing infiltration is absolutely, you know, one of the most reactive things that you have to do. Is this insurgents threatening the Transfrontier Park in any way? Is the Transfrontier notion still viable under the present circumstances? Those are my three questions, Chair. I'll wait for my second bite.
Next member.
Thank you, Chair. It's input by all the speakers, CEO and the rest of the doctors involved was really good, but the tone that's coming through is frustration, demoralizing, like, you know, fight is can't be fought as well as attacking. I understand that and I sympathize with them, because if you think of the Mozambican border, people are coming there, crossing through there at will. You watch the refugees, they're coming through at will. There's no proper security out there. And that is one of the major factors that it's upsetting everybody, and even the security forces are even must probably get frustrated, because there's no proper security at this borders. But the other thing that I wanted to hear more about is the education programs that are put into places in the Far East, you know, China and Thailand and all that. What kind of education programs are put through there? But I think if you talk about human force and man force, we haven't got the capacity to have sufficient people on those borders. So the only counter is education to get people not to buy these rhino horns. If you look at the value of it, like, you know, of the horn itself, it's to get rich quickly. As much as these guys take chances in going there with holding up these easy money vans, they take a gamble, because if you get it right, you get rich. If you get hold of one or two rhino horns, you're well set up for a good while. So the education part, I'd like to know more about that. You know, thank you, Chair.
Okay, Mandela.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I agree that the presentation is quite comprehensive, detailed. I have three questions. One on the rhino poaching. What is clear from the presentation itself is that the perpetrators are emboldened, are encouraged deeply. Is there an analysis made as to why that is the state of affairs vis-a-vis the deterrence that is supposed to be there? So is it not a whole question of psychological welfare, impunity, and no fright from the poachers if they continue to grow? Secondly, how far, I know technology is advanced, I mean it's expensive, but how far are we prepared to go to leverage the necessary technology? I know in the past there was question of using unmanned drones as a detection capability, but is it also envisioned, because this is almost a military setup, to the installation of radar systems to be able to detect well in advance the kind of infiltration. Secondly, is there no, because we are talking about Mozambique as a source of problems, is there no joint patrol, joint training between South Africa and Mozambique in relation to combating the infection? What I don't pick up is, I know stuff is there, but we don't get, I know operational, we don't deal with operational issues, but the unmanned roadblocks, stop and search, we are not picking that up in the presentation. which for me is something deficient. Let's come now to staff complements. I see that in terms of the people with disabilities, CEO, you are moving to 0.9, and over the 5-year period, you are only going to reach your 2%, which means it's a slow pace. There's no accelerated move to address the 2%. So you are, it's a snail pace in my view. 0.9, the after 3 years, 0.8. So I'm just trying to get and recommend it. Move the boundaries and move to 2%. The last one here is around this.
Can we hold it there?
Okay.
We are now at 4. Now you'll come back, honorable member, don't worry. So that we get responses. Mine was also going to be the same on people with disability. Our laws are quite clear. We can't be planning for a deficit on this matter. We can't. We can't be planning. We must, in fact, be at 2%. 20 years into democracy. Again, on women. You know, you are still trying to have what 30 something. We have moved above 80, by the way. We are now at 50%. We are supposed to be planning for 50% at management level as empowering to our women folk who've been on the receiving end for years and years and years because of a patriarchal society. Don't worry, I come from an organization that taught me well. But again, we need to have a sense from yourselves. Are we at one on this? Because we can't be planning for 37, 30 whatever. Of course, you can say this year it might not be achievable. But as we move towards the medium term, can't we really be planning to advance the interest of our women for even at senior management level? We have asked the same question from the department, by the way. Now they say that, by the way, they must kill all the men who are occupying those positions first. But let's get your response, because it's just a matter of principle. Last issue that I would like to raise. You know, immaterial how often we report on how many rhinos have been killed. We must appreciate the efforts that are being put. We must appreciate the efforts that you guys are putting to save our rhino species. So that the debate is not about reporting. The debate is, are we winning the war? And indeed, that's where some of us must also come in as parliament, bring in all the other people that are supposed to be assisting you. We know you are very diplomatic in how you present it here. Members, I think we must call all those other portfolio committees, have the same presentation, and say, how are you monitoring? What is your role? SHS, intelligence, you are right. By the way, some of us who come from a particular history, in some way in our previous life, there's no way you can deal with this criminality unless you have proper intelligence. Intelligence that enables you to even know why have people moved to the other side of Kruger. But indeed, we should have picked that up before they even moved. So I think we need to engage, and it's a matter of urgency on our part, so that we don't expect you to do the impossible. You have no authority on SAPS, you have no authority on intelligence, you have no authority on SANDF, you have no authority on home affairs. Indeed, the parliament, working together with our
with our colleagues in those portfolios, and we might get deeper into. We know the minister, of course, does meet with the various ministers, but as to whether they are as committed as she is, that's another matter for debate. That's why we must bring all of them here together with the portfolio committee so that we really deal with this issue. Of course, that's one. But the other issue, colleagues, as members of parliament, I think we have long said that we must interact with our Mozambican counterparts. Let's go there. Let's go there so that we see for ourselves what we hear that we are saying there are some measures that have been put in place. Let's then interact with them to see what are those measures. Because this protection of our species, we are not only doing this for ourselves. We are doing this for humanity as a whole. Therefore, Mozambique has a role to play. So I just wanted to make those comments before we come to some issues that we raise after you have answered the matter that colleagues have raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I obviously had points to raise almost at the end of the discussion, just as part of wrapping up. But I thought that some of them would probably fit most perfectly here in this discussion. I think we should first appreciate the matters raised by colleagues in this presentation, and obviously the questions that are also to follow. Perhaps in trying to respond to some of the issues, I should also just fill in other areas of work that's being done, because the presentation that was made here would have covered level, what, 3, 1, 2, 3. Attempts and operations at the departmental level, and that's in as far as it concerns SANPARC. At the departmental level and a broad country level and a broad multi-operations level and multi-planning level across departments, SANPARC may not necessarily be quite at the forefront. And therefore, this chair brings to the fore the request that we have made in the past, that perhaps post these hearings that you are doing on Parliament, because you are preparing for budgets now, we should find some days to really work through this matter of rhino poaching, probably through a visit at Kruger National Park itself, because when we are there, we can even move across into Mozambique and back. We have had an opportunity to do that with the previous portfolio committee, and I think it was quite helpful. Now I'm moving up to from level 3 upwards. I was with this team of SANPARC in Mozambique 2 weeks ago, just to fill in. And I think in the presentation itself, there is somewhere where an attempt is being made. I can't remember which slide it is, where there's interaction with Mozambique or where people are going up to Mozambique. It's on slide page 18 of the slide, if you can just go to that. On the extreme right, left-hand side, you see there's the Limpopo National Park and Mozambique Libombo Concession. That's the Mozambique side, and the South African side, the Game Reserve United. I'm sure we can see those slides. The person has not come to that point yet. I don't know how, but it looks like this. Now, what we were going to do in Mozambique, specifically amongst others last 2 weeks ago, was to say to the Mozambicans, we have had discussions with you previously. We do have a memorandum of understanding which is under implementation now, even though we haven't signed the implementation plan. That's immaterial for us. We do, however, need to go on and implement this MOU, because the MOU is in place. The implementation plan will tell us the strategies as to how we do that going forward, but we are implementing and cementing the strategies. So one of the things that we said we are going to do is to remove the six or seven villages that are inside the Transfrontier Park. Because as long as people live inside the park, where the fences were lowered, you will continue to have some challenges as we are doing. Have you gone? How far you've gone? Remember last time when I was there with our team of both the department and SANPAS? We were met with the former president who was at the time acquiring money, and actually acquired money from the former president, Suzanne, acquired money from the Peace Park Foundation for these villagers to be removed. So yes, indeed, the presenter did say that, or our manager here, did say that there is a bit of progress in the Mozambican side. What is that progress which we saw this time around? They have indeed already moved two of those villages, or two or three, I think. We actually flew over where the villages have been installed, moved to. So we saw those villages, we saw where they came from, and indeed they are doing work of removing others, and which is actually a step in the right direction for us. What we were concerned about when we spoke to them is the speed at which they are doing it. And in that meeting, we agreed that they should be the following that's done. That, Chair, without taking much of your time, in fact, we agreed on this one, they are going to, instead of doing this matter, now that they are at implementation level, remember the 2 years or so that they took, they were at negotiations level with the communities, because moving the communities, you have to ensure that you actually engage them and not move them like you are moving apples or bananas. Or even, yeah, I didn't say so. So there was that engagement. Now that they have an agreement to move them, they need to move in speed. And how is that speed moving? They were using EPWP methods. Now they have a contract with assistance also and money from German government, which we assisted them to get, negotiated with them that money. Now that they have that money, they are going to appoint a contractor, which moves faster and builds these houses faster. Remember, it's not only building houses, it's infrastructure, water, sanitation, and all those things. So it's a complex matter. And they themselves acknowledge that it is really a task that they had underestimated. We knew that it was heavy task, but the positive thing is that they are moving. When we were there, on the same day, my counterpart, the new minister, I think he's 26 years old, not less. He's quite a very energetic young man. I just like it. Let me 26, or let me give him additional 10. Yeah. He studied here in South Africa. He lived here. So he's very energetic. He was launching a environment police team, huge contingent. For this first time thing, it was about 150 of them. In new uniform, we saw them. It was not even ironed ever before. New uniform. They were being paraded there. He was giving them the marching go-ahead. They were then going to be operating on the side of Mozambique. Because remember, as it was indicated earlier on, the side of South Africa has always had, and let's not miss this out ever, honorable members, the side of South Africa has people from the army defense, have got our rangers, have got our, they operate together with an increased number of rangers as well that we have actually acquired ourselves, with the increased security, as it was said earlier on, now we're spending more money on security. The South African side has always had that. Our gripe, and that I mentioned in this community all the time, that our gripe has been that on the Mozambican side there's not been concomitant meeting of minds. So now when we were there, they were launching that police. One additional thing that had not happened, which is for us actually, the locate that they are launching is a good sign. And a step toward the right direction. By the way, we're helping them to get more money. we agreed, by the way, one of the agreements of that meeting of 2 weeks ago, my counterpart, is that we will continue to work together to raise more funds for them to actually even be able to increase the security on their side. I'll come to the security part of it, now the bigger security cluster, how we are cooperating. Thirdly, one of the things that we were there to do on that day, Minister was saying that, was over and above launching this. Remember on the South African side, I think you need to just to hint that, we had given a go-ahead for the teams in South Africa, the teams in Mozambique, whoever is in the operation. When they are chasing somebody or when they are acting, they can move into South Africa. But we did not have a concomitant agreement for them, for our people to move into Mozambique. Now we have it. We have made that agreement at that meeting on that day. Then I remember even Minister was saying, but how do I get people, maybe we shouldn't just hear that people have shot each other there, crossfire when some have moved into each other's territory and so forth. This is still at the rangers level, by the way, not at other security cluster levels. So we then said, under our command system, joint command system, those teams will work together. That's how we agreed. So for me, I think that meeting was useful and was very fruitful. One of the areas that the minister made commitment on, is that together with his colleagues in Mozambique, he will get the teams that are known to be operating in Mozambique and sending our young people to come and poach this thing to actually get arrested. They are he's following on them. He says to me, Minister, by the time our security joint management security cluster meets, we must have some of these people arrested because they really have not been working. He's asking me why is it that is not. I'm saying I'm asking you. So he's given that commitment to act on that. I'm answering this question because honourable members, I've had this question from media, both media and from members of this portfolio committee. Why am I not getting people arrested in Mozambique? They have sovereignty as a country. I can't go there and arrest people. Or just let alone that we are not even in the security. We don't have a mandate to arrest you. But yes, in the past year we have mandate to arrest, we'll arrest you. Or through that man who's sitting there, lays. Our mandate given by the security cluster ends there. With that of environmental inspection and these ones of rangers. Any other law enforcement, we don't have it. But we do work with our teams. That is the next team, level of work. Joint management security has been to Mozambique. Part of the work that we agreed on that day that will be done is to reinforce this work that we're talking about. And it is actually being done. The fourth thing that we agreed upon, even in that joint management security, from environment point of view and from security point of view of defense, public works, and other departments, you'll wonder why am I dealing in public works. It's part of the cluster that deals with this thing at government level. Public works has got to reconstruct the fence. I'm talking about the fence on the side, on the western side of South Africa, on the eastern side of South Africa, that is a border fence. But the fence where there is no Transfrontier Park. Remember that fence was dilapidated. It was worn out, we have money, we have already begun constructing that fence. I have answered that question as one of the parliamentary questions, and the amount of kilometers that we have already moved. However, in the Transfrontier Park where the fences have been lowered, that matter still stands in the treaty. We have not removed it. There is still a possibility to actually put up that fence. But we have had to work with our counterparts. And in fact, let me just say this. As I was going to Mozambique, one of the things that I was going to be announcing is that, colleagues, if you are not moving, if I don't see results, we are putting up this fence. But remember, it's a fence that costs a lot of money, which we'll have to put down one day. If there was no progress indeed in Mozambique, this was my decision that I was going to announce in Mozambique on that day. But fortunately, there is at least good sign and very good signs that there is movement forward in relation to this work that we're doing. On the northern side, there are two conservations, I think three farms, which are very close to the park. which are currently putting a fence on the Mozambican side. They are farms, and we agreed that they will they can continue to put up that fence, which will actually help us minimize the incursions that are on the southern side. And I think that's in a nutshell, it's not all that I'm saying that has been reported, but I was tabulating the points for areas, at least of success, that which we discussed in the past, and now we have some agreement on and some progress on. So our security people and our past people managers, the one under General Duarte, they are actually working with Mozambique. They are there almost every week, every fortnight or so, engaging even on these projects that we're talking about that are being initiated. So it's not all doom and gloom. But now, at a broader level, which is the security team, Chair, it is important that we engage with the other clusters and the other portfolio committees. That's so that we continue to monitor. But I don't want this to sound like we have come here to report that my colleagues are not doing anything, because I do know. I do know that they are, and I'm not scared. If they weren't doing anything, I would say that. Because I call it a spade, not an agricultural tool. It is not. It is a spade. So if they were not doing anything, I would say that. But I don't want us to leave with the impression that they are just not doing anything. Indeed, Fundi was there, and I don't know who, can't remember the general view. At a cabinet cluster level JCPS, this matter is being discussed. As we are right now, the cluster is working on an intensified strategy on security. However, it doesn't mean that they don't do anything. We've already been told about the many tasks that they are fulfilling, and I did say that on the 10th of September last year, joint operations that includes intelligence was set up at the Kruger National Park, and they're operating. I'm sure they can tell us about how the operations. I've been to the center itself. I've seen how they operate. I've seen how they are being coordinated, how they are being. The fact that they are able to actually move and lead these 10 teams of poachers inside the park is not coming as an accident. It's because they would have smelled, sniffed, and know that at least we should be going this direction. Going that. There's a lot of information and a lot of intelligence that's going on within the park itself and assisted by those and crime scene management and all those things, and people are coming in. However, let us not underestimate this problem that we're dealing with. It's a multi-billion scourge. Multi-billion. 23 billion, I'm told, it moves from 10 billion that we have been saying underestimating. 23 billion, what, US dollars, I think? Not rands. Of a trade. And you can imagine if people just lay their hands on money ease like that. We have known, Jen, that through our intelligence, that as we close all the loopholes, we create this wall on the Mozambican side. Because the demand, the hot is being not being used by Mozambicans. It's being used elsewhere. Even as we close this wall, we knew that they will go on the other side. There was a time when you closed the Kruger National Park, they went for ordinary game farmers on the grounds who at the time had no protection at all. And it's for that reason that Fundi, when he was still in the department, began engaging those commercial farmers to get support from them as well for them to actually do this thing. So now the young people are on the eastern side, on the western side of Kruger National Park. What do we do? Do we now go and put another wall against this thing? They'll go everywhere else. And therefore, this point that we always make mention of, work with other countries elsewhere for demand reduction, is a very, very important point. I mean, here we can try and at times score points, because I'm sometimes called a liar or something, somebody who's misleading the people and so forth and so forth. Let me tell you something. On this particular matter, I'm 16. My focus is fighting the war on rhino poaching, nothing else. And nothing will deter me. No name calling, nothing. So this is the battle that we've got to engage in. As long as we're talking this battle, join in. Any other thing that takes us, deters us, please look away. I will not look at. Shona Call, that's where we're going. So you're right. We want to go up to the and we are there. Vietnamese, everybody at national level, we were now in Botswana recently at a meeting where we were assessing the state of affairs, how countries are reacting. By the way, scientists have put measures also, accountability of the countries which are user countries in particular, consumer countries. By the way, China is not part of those that have been given the trust because they are not identified as a user country. And there are reasons why. But Vietnam was. Vietnam has to say what measures are they put in place. South Africa and Mozambique jointly have to report to CITES. What are we doing? What have we done? And we are reporting. So as we are receiving this report about 3 weeks ago, yes, it was 3 weeks ago when we were in Botswana, it actually emerged that Vietnam, everybody does acknowledge that Vietnam has really started doing a whole lot of work on awareness and demand reduction. What must we do? I think Parliament must stand and go to Vietnam and say to Vietnamese, let's work together, Batubamudim. Where are your communities? How do we build in with parliamentarians of Mozambique? I mean, also of Vietnam. Anything else that's not that, Chair, sorry, we're not speaking our language. Our language must be one. Fight against rhino poaching. No name calling, nothing. I will not listen. Anybody who wants statistics, please wait. I am on rhino. I'm not going to employ other people who are going to now specifically sit and count rhinos every day. How many of you? I want every finger, every word, every mind on killing and fighting this thing. Fighting this rhino. By the way, there's a linkage and a causal link killing because between those who know how many rhinos are there and how they should now attack. So we're not going to keep on exposing ourselves. It's very, very dangerous. Of course, we'll report, we'll be accountable, but we won't just volunteer to be nailed down. No. Chair, after we told you about this particular strategy, we released it here. You remember the evening cabinet? And we did that also very nicely at a press conference. This is our strategy. We're building the IT there. We're building, you know what we're saying to the thief? Go there. Now that they're in IPZ, don't go there, go this way. How do we become a government in the name of transparency go naked? There are certain things that we should be keeping to ourselves and knowing them ourselves. So I'm afraid that one day I'm going to be accused of keeping this thing as I am already. Sorry, I don't mind. I'm doing that which I think is right, fighting the rhino. Coaching. So we are working with that, and I think we will really welcome the situation where the request for us to go to all these areas that are necessary. But I also think that we need to just talk about many other things, including how we are going to be. Lace has just got received money to train magistrates. Remember, this somebody asked about the 10-year the sentences. That are low and so forth. We've been saying this ourselves. We've been to meet through our teams of the other departments. And the work that was done, they reflect the following, that in fact, in the law, there is a minimum sentence already provided for. What is it about? 10 years? 10 years without, with or without option of a fine?
With
option of a fine, 10 years is provided for. However, there are magistrates who are not implementing that. Either because there is resistance or they don't know or something. And that's part of the work that we got money for from where, Jeff?
Yes.
From Jeff. To actually acquaint our magistrates. They are learned friends, they are educated. But you know, just not as much as they would not know how to deal with issues of a raised child. Those are some of the things that we need to sensitize them on. Because they may not know quite know how to deal with a rhino issue. So the magistrate training with Interpol is being done now in South Africa. So that whole measure of strategies will need to move on and educate ourselves and just work on with issues of technologies. And I'm sure the team, as they respond, they'll talk to those issues. Our own, just to embellish the point, our own CSIR through Department of Science and Technology, and I was having a discussion with Minister Pando now recently about the work that is being done in her department to further research on technologies that we... Remember, we still have a meeting that's outstanding on work with that must be concluded with Minister Transport about the movement and sharing of space on the aerial, the AUV. But it doesn't mean that the AUVs are not piloted and have not been piloted. There are security issues. You know the London people who AUVs got into their houses and bedrooms and bathrooms looking for their children. Those kinds of things need to be cleared, and some regulations also need to be put in place here in South Africa. Even as we are very much engaged, but we have dogs, drones here. We have dogs, sniffer dogs. We have donations of cars. We have two aeroplanes and two helicopters that have been donated by people who are really understanding the kind of war that we are fighting. This is not just a small battle. It is war. And we have declared war, and we shall fight it. I want people to then talk about staff complement. They will say that people will not die now to replace them in chairs, you see. You see, I come from the party that you come from. We're really saying this thing of transformation has got to be done. We have three vacancies of senior managers on the staff of on the structure. There's one or two women. The second one is working now, Fundi, who was not introduced. There's another one who's not here, very high level women. So we have one, two, three, four. Three. Yeah, one, two, three, and one, two, three, four. At least on that top, the lower echelons, remember that this is a historical thing of coming from the past, where there are, fortunately, the policy does allow men and women to stay at one place and work at the same place. The policy does allow, because they are working in the bush. We don't expect them to leave their families in towns and cities and then go and work in the bush alone. God knows what will happen. So at least that policy does allow that. They can send their wives and they can work there if they are qualified. And I think we will really ensure that as this post are filled, we go on. I'm not sure if in South Africa we're able really to work very adequately on finding the disabled people in a proper manner. I think we need a tool, and this I've always said, a tool that even when you advertise and even when you select, because as shortlisting happens, we don't hide from shortlisting level. Start throughout government, start by saying, a column is needed of disabled, so that we can see if there are disabled people, even as we apply. So I think that right from the beginning, because when you discover this at the tail end when we have already shortlisted, you're likely not to get those people. And it doesn't mean that because we are in the park and in the bush, we can't find disabled people. I'm sure they will be able to find them. Thank you very much.
Before you come in, I know that the minister will be leaving. Minister, why we are saying our efforts must be to coordinate ourselves as parliament, because we are not coordinated. We are not. You could be coordinated at the level of cabinet. You could be having a cluster plan to deal with this matter. But we have not discussed amongst ourselves as parliament. In fact, we discuss probably in isolation from one another. Therefore, the need for us to come together so that we deal with this matter. And we agree with you, Minister. The need for us to also be part of the demand reduction as Parliament. What is our activism on this demand reduction? Whether be it on the part of demand reduction on Mozambique will be those people who are getting monies through. Indeed, they might not be consumers. But indeed, they might be getting money through these activities. How do we link up with our Mozambican counterpart to do justice to this protection of our rhino species? Of course, we are in agreement that the point that we have raised, I think all of us must focus on what we need to focus on. And that focus is how do we protect our rhino species. And protection does not mean, we agree with the minister, that we must then be naked. You see, when you protect, you don't say everything that you are doing, because then you are telling your enemy that, by the way, watch out, this is what I'm going to do now. Of course, here we can ask you some operational matters. You don't need to put them on your presentation. If they are of, yes, the broad principles, that speaks to those. Indeed, we can ask you questions. Yes, we can ask you questions, but also we as members of parliament, because we understand the war we are faced with, we should not abuse this privilege to score points outside there in the media or anywhere else. If the entire effort by all of us is to stop poaching, let's all concentrate on stopping poaching. And rest assured, as far as that is concerned, why I've allowed this discussion, here we're dealing with your APTs as SANParks. Rest assured, we can deal with your APTs, but the majority of our rhinos are found in your SANParks. The majority of the killings and the maiming of our rhinos is happening in your SANParks. Now, rest assured, we will not stop members asking, what are you doing? We will not stop this. We will continue to, in fact, encourage members to ask, what are we doing? If we had over 800 killings last year, and the other year we had over 1,200, what is our plan to reduce? Of course, we know that our plan to reduce cannot be a subjective one, just concentrating on what we have inside the park. We must go in the communities, we must go to the consumer countries, we must go everywhere else. So we understand that, and we agree with you, Minister. It might be important that at some stage we close everything there. We make it a closed session. We talk about this. It might be very, very important that we close the cameras, and we also commit as members of parliament that the information we are getting here is for our eyes and ears only. And that information will assist us to say, how do we assist the department in this war? Phil?
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister has covered most of the questions. There are only two from Honorable Stender around free access to increase. Banda will respond to that. I will kill the fundraising one, levy or a conservation levy for it. We were engaging the board yesterday in the legislation and their mandate. That will not be easy to be done by us, but it does not mean it's not doable in terms of proposing a levy and a conservation levy under the fundraising. Therefore, it's a thing that we can explore, but we need to make sure that it's mandated in our act. We have a provision there to do that. Minister, you answered the one for Honorable Bonomi. I hope I'm pronouncing the surname Bonomi. I will cover that. Thank you very much. Apologies. Honorable Mabigo, I think even the chair is also covered this of disabled women. We were a bit conservative, but we'll look at it. I didn't want us to overcommit when we looked at it. I know he has been slow. He's 21 years as chair, as you always remind me. Not 20 years anymore. It's 21 years now. But we were very cautious on this one, but moving forward, we'll look at that. Just, Minister, another issue, while we're talking about parliamentarians, I know even in the work Minister is doing towards exploration of the possibility of a rhino horn, there was a problem for parliamentarians to engage other parliamentarians. It was a plan in India. I think it's still there, Chairperson, to do, go to the Far East and engage. I think the previous cultural committee did invite some of the SADC parliamentarians to Kruger, where was the some engagement. One that will do the free access, and we're also testing drones in Kruger. This has been approved by the minister, working with CSIR, of course. One that do the free access.
Thank you, CE. Thank you, Chair, honorable members, and my apologies, sir, for expecting the meeting to wait for me. I'm really sorry I got held up at the airport. Thank you so much. On the issue of the free access, to the honorable member, indeed, the figure that is shown there does seem to be minuscule, as she had explained it. But we would like to ask the members to please look at that. That number is just for the week of the National Parks Week, which is the Free Access Week. But for members to look at it in relation to the other number that is below on the environmental access, because that as well, Chair, is free access. Whereas this one is people getting themselves to the park, the 175,000, which we are looking at 180,000, is us making an effort actually to go to the communities and bring those children into the parks. But further to that as well, Chair, to indicate that also in our open access parks, like Table Mountain and a bit of wilderness, in that we are actually posting, honorable member, high numbers of free access in terms of those parks. If you're looking at the statistics in Table Mountain, we'll usually only reflect really on those areas that we calculate because those are not free access area. But you're talking about probably about 2 million to 3 million entries that we are getting on Table Mountain alone. Wilderness National Park will probably be posting about 500,000 thereabouts. I don't have quite the figure. So we do have those access. And we'll also look at the issue of access also in terms of tourism. Even though it's paid access, of course, it is the manner in which the government ensures that for people, there's also access for people to come into these areas. They are not just isolated areas where we only do science. So it's just to ask in terms of that. But we do, Chair, of course, always try to bring up that number, but bearing in mind that most people are working during that week. They find it difficult to get to the parks. We do try to get communities around the parks through other initiatives to come into the parks. Thank you, Chair.
Colleagues, if there are any follow-ups, again, your opportunity, Sana. Any other papers? Okay, Sana.
Thank you, Chair. One of the questions I wanted to ask was the revenue generated from stock sales. How is that ring-fenced and put back into conservation of that particular species, or is it, for example, if you sell rhino, where does the sale go to? If you sell some kudu, where does that income? How is it? Where is it allocated to? Also, I wanted to find out how the morale of our rangers is going. After our oversight visits last year, there were a number of issues identified. Just wanted to find out how they are doing and how progress is being made in that regard. Then, is Sand Parks looking, I'm sure you are, looking at scenario planning? Or in case there is an increased scourge. I mean, I know we're facing an ever-increasing scourge of rhino poaching and an attack against our rhino population. But in the event that there is a possible lift on the ban on trade of rhino horn and a possible unintended consequence that criminal syndicates will launch an all-out attack to bank on extinction of the species, because, you know, that such an action might increase protection of private species, but then our public species will be really left open. What sort of scenario planning are you doing in that regard? And then, just as a last statement, Chair, I must thank the Minister. You know, I've always known that Wasint Abafazi, Wasint Mbogodo. And what the Minister has shared with us today is very encouraging. And it shows certainly that there are clear, frank, and decisive actions, specifically with engagements with Mozambique, especially with the first mention of demand reduction being a focus. You know, it's very encouraging to hear about the progress made with the security cluster. I just want to thank the Minister, and I want her to know that she has our full support and that we will back her. And the opportunity to engage on these issues on a confidential level is welcomed, because as Members of Parliament, you know, our position entitles us to certain access to information, and it is absolutely understood and respected that we don't want to be naked. We want transparency, but we don't want to be naked, and we don't want to be leading any highly organized crime syndicates to our rhino populations. So just to thank the Minister for her candid and frank and very encouraging today. You have our support, Minister. You have it. And there's absolutely no intention to detract from our core focus in light of the offer to engage on this on a confidential level. I wanted to make that very clear. Thank you very much.
I'm just interested in the matter that the CE did not elaborate on in the context of they getting a turnover in terms of tourists of more than 5 million, I mean, sorry. But you can't declare income. You didn't explain why, because those who come, that is income generation. But you said you can't declare income. It's a contradiction. Can you explain? That's the first thing. On page 6, you talk about ecological environment integrity in line with the National Development Plan around renewable energy and so forth. I just want to check out of interest, CE and your team, in the short term, because the NDP is long term, it's 15 years from now, 2030, it's 2015. In the short term, are you moving towards energy efficiency in all your infrastructure and property? Thanks. Those are the two things, Jim.
My last ones. We are saying these parks should be seen as an asset to our people as a whole. Now, what are those, what, I know that you spoke of linking community activities to the parks. You might be at an embryo stage. But what can we look forward to in this area of work? So that, again, when our people feel that they are part and parcel of the beneficiation of the park, they are likely to do everything in their power to protect the park and all its business. But that is not an overriding consideration. The overriding consideration is that it is their park, God-given, not bought by somebody. It's God-given to our people. And we must see in real terms
beneficiation that accrues to our people from the past. I know that new chief executive, I know I've troubled you. In fact, when I called him minister, when I heard that he was appointed, the first thing I said, Chief, what is the plan on this issue only? Nothing else. Just on this issue, so that one day all of us can say that, you know, these parks are not only there to be visited, for people to come in there to have 3 weeks where they can come in there without paying, but these parks are also a source of economic development to our people. That's all that we need. We talk about wildlife, economy, we talk about all sorts of things. How are we seeing implementation of that that accrues to our people? Thank you.
If I may, Chair, and please pardon me what I requested earlier on for your release, that the other meeting is about to start. We have not responded to Dr. Mavido's previous question. I'm going to clap his questions with once now. That's about what drives this rhino on poaching. It's greed. Pure greed. Somebody's an animal shortage. Greed, we want money now and at the expense of anything. There isn't any other pure greed. The reason why I say China has not been listed on countries that have got to respond is because China, Che will show you the video that we did, arising from work under current and above current, that we did as we're investigating this matter in China. We found that actually China has banned the use of any rhino horn, this thing, in their country, and it's in the law. Yes, they have banned it, the use of rhino horn in any medicinal. The work that was done by our scientists finds that in the concoction, because you see banning something is a different thing, current and undercurrent work as it is. You banning something else and doing something else are two different things. Went further to research if indeed in the concoctions of any medicinal, whatever they have, there could be any rhino horn. No component found, even by some of the research that has been done. So there is this myth, let's call it myth, that drives greed. We call it greedness. Other people who are users call it a very nice thing. For them it's nice, it's making money, because other people have deep belief in it. And it's a belief that I think even with the highest of the demand reduction drive, we should know that we will get it right with what generations and generations to come. Because the current generations believe so much in it, like some of us believe that Jesus Christ is Catholic. Trying to convince the Pope that Jesus Christ is not dying for your sins. The Pope is a tall order. So they have that deep belief. But we've got to work on it. We now working, that's why our campaign is on the younger generations. My size and younger than me. And a little up than me. So that at least we can. That's us. Yeah, a little bit up than me, it's yourself. Yeah. So, but we've got to keep on working. And Nestanda, thank you very much for the assurance. I think we really now have to understand this dilemma that we are in. By the way, we are equally being accused by those who say, why did we ban the trade in rhino horn nationally? They have taken us to court. They need trade nationally on a horn, rhino horn, that's banned on trade internationally. So you trade nationally to do what? What's wrong with you? To rule. We can't understand this, but we'll see the matter in court. Definitely. We'll just face it there. Should it happen, that they succeed. I'm sure we will find many other ways, because our cause also may include something else. Should it happen that they rule that we do that, and I'm saying to my colleagues that we'll make it so impossible. Sorry, I'm talking, I'm aware that I'm in public. So impossible even for the operation to happen, because it still bans international. Where there have to be markings and markings, all we are cautioning them right away. That markings and markings and all the kinds of things that they've got to go through. And those regulations will rely on you to help us put them in place. Thank you. For now, because we don't want our rhino to be extinct. We are investigating that which we are investigating as a possibility, but based on research that Sarah, that committee that you have appointed is not going to put a wishy-washy report in front of us and we accept it. It's going to be questions that are tough. It's going to answer scientific questions, that's going to answer scientific questions, even before we take that route. Let's engage in that part. Engagement is the name of the story within policy. So, yeah, let's find that nature of talking to this issue. South Africa has got policy, sustainable utilization of our natural resources. It's contained in Section 24, Subsection 2, Roman numeral 3. Utilization of our natural resources. It all includes cows, chickens, diamonds, and everything else. And impalas. And everything else that you can name. As long as they are not banned at species level. That which is banned, we really don't agree with non-compliance. Thank you very much. I think the matter about access to parks you raised, it's a very, very important one. I think we need to really, as Wanda has already indicated, we are working on some of the programs. This past 3 days ago, we were at Mbizo. In the Limpopo province, we have selected 3 provinces which we are assisting through the finances that we have. It's about 1.007 billion rand that we have. And I think over this, now it's about 877 million rand that we have over this MTF for empowerment of our communities in getting their ownership and the communities that live in and around the parks that doesn't even have ownership of the park, create their own nature reserves. We're beginning with construction of infrastructure like lodges, like entrance halls, like restaurants, and so on. So that once they have that basic infrastructure, they themselves can then, through our other program, have introduction of these animals and species. That's over and above going into the other parks that are existing, creating their own as part of the empowerment. So that work is ongoing. We released this past three days, an amount of let me remember, 200, yeah? I think it's about 400 million or something, subject to correction, to the 5 communities in Limpopo. We'll do that in Mpumalanga. We'll also do that in KZN. That's where, actually, also with dealing with staff quarters, which are very, very dilapidated, where people live. We don't believe that that's a good working area and conditions of work for people in those areas. So it's a very serious matter. Let's continue to work on it together. The transformation issue, do accept it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the one from our standard. You used the word stock sales. You meant game sales. We do have a fund called Park Development Fund, PDF. All the money from game sales, they go to that fund. It's a fund approved by the board long time ago in order to invest the money back into conservation. That fund is for that. There's an oversight on the use of those funds. Therefore, every money is collected through game sales, they go to the PDF. On the morale of the staff, I will ask Glenn to deal with that one as a program, including spouses, including children of our rangers. There's a program we put into place. Around the scenario planning.
Include accommodation.
Yes. under the scenarios is about the ifs. I think the ifs are continuing. If this happens, what do we do? If this happens, what do we do? In the strategy that has been approved by cabinet and our own strategy, we looked at the ifs, like small populations that are continuously monitored 24/7, because if you have 10 rhinos in one small park, you can conserve those, you can collar them, you can do that 24 hours. There's one which I never discussed with Minister. If they're all gone, to me I would say, let us conserve 1,000 in the country. Because we cannot win this thing within our shores. What I mean, if the world is not assisting us, our neighbor is not assisting us, we can say we can keep 1,000 rhinos with a presidential decree where they are monitored 24/7. And then there could be other rules of the game in terms of whoever goes near that. That will be a thing that we're not even to look at it. But I don't think in our scenarios we want to get there. But if the world is not assisting us, I think we need to say there's a number that we cannot go below as a country. Honourable Mabilo, declaring of income, there are some rules that I had. I think DEA or the CFO will assist that you can't declare income. And the CFO will address that one. And then Glenn will address the energy efficiency. Chairperson, coming to your question around what do we mean with communities? What do we mean that can make communities see a change? Chair, we are in the business of managing parks. I think where we are sitting, we are saying communities must be in that business. If I can mention four things we do as parks. We collect our revenue, gate fees, we call concession fees. We collect from accommodation. We collect from game rights. We collect from game sales. There could be others. Those are four main drivers of our revenue. We are saying communities can enter the space. But there are not a space that we don't do in parks. There are activities that are not even allowed in our legislation. The fact that you can have other neighbors, like your sub-sense, neighbor in Kruger National Park, with a piece of land, they make money doing a similar business. We talk of exactly that share with our communities. We talk of land use compatibility. We are aware that I like my goats and cattle at home. We need that paradigm shift from communities around our parks so that they can enter those businesses. We need to say, show them the money share, not only jobs. The fact that there are millionaires who are in this business of parks as private people. Now we have communities who are getting land, but they can't do the same. Therefore, I'm saying it's environmental injustice, person. Therefore, the team here, we have agreed that we need to look at this seriously. We'll go to communities. It might take time. We show them the money. That stop trying to sell one tomato because it's not working for you. We can sell one buffalo. Join us. Therefore, Chair, this is the drive that we want to do. Make sure that they are in the business we do. There's another issue, Chair, as I think that we don't do. There are many things done in tourism. People are doing hot air balloons. People are doing these quiet bikes. People are doing many things. We are saying tourists come into our parks. They only do few things. They stay 3 days. if you can say, we will offer you next door. There's a community land. Those things you can't do with us, we'll take you there. Therefore, Chair, it's a win-win. This is an issue, Chair, that I think the court is like, we debated it. We know it's difficult, but it's the only way you can leave behind. Not printing T-shirts and selling one artifact at the gate. Therefore, Chair, that's a thing we want to try and do. In doing so, Chair, we will need other departments. We need Land Claims Commission. We know they have money. We need rural development. We know they have money. There's a new Department of Small Businesses Development of Minister Zulu. It's a new department that wants to jump in there and show her that she can partner with the sector in doing pursuing her mandate. Therefore, Chair, this is the thinking. We know it's not going to be easy, but at the end of the day, we would like to see communities adjacent to our parks doing parks business. Thank you. Energy will be done by Glenn and also the staff morale.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister. Just on the staff morale, I'll go to first. We've just conducted a wellness team. It's just gone to all the range of posts throughout the Kruger National Park. Initially, it will be going to all parks, of course, to identify what the shortcomings are. And key shortcomings at the moment are issues such as recreation when you are not out on patrol. Issues if you're out in the bush on a long stage, not near your family. Issues of food, catering. So a lot of basic issues that are very difficult to provide for in that environment. So we've identified what the issues are. Accommodation is a key one, as the Chair correctly mentions. That's another aspect we have to deal with. We're dealing with a backlog of accommodation currently for general staff. We've now got new ranges, which is actually increasing the burden on us in terms of accommodation for staff. So that is the process we are working on, and we'll continue to focus on that. Another key issue, there are certain initiatives which were done over Christmas, for example, through the support of our honorary rangers. Christmas parties were held for all the ranger posts for the staff and for the children and for the wives and those type of things. So, but we need to do more of this throughout the year. It can't be once-off events. But there is a clear focus, and we need to continue driving that. In terms of energy efficiency, as part of the Responsible Tourism Strategy that has been implemented or is in the process of being implemented, one of the key issues is the monitoring of energy efficiency as part of SANS 1162, which we need to adhere to, which we are monitoring. The first thing is to understand what we currently are consuming. That's been done. We clearly understand what our consumption is per day, per customer in our parks. The issue is to say, how do we reduce it? We've been monitoring now over the last 5 years as to how things are. We've managed to reduce by interventions such as installing heat pumps in units, solar where applicable, and we've reduced by 15% our energy consumption. Aspects such as reducing water flow through water flow regulators on taps, for example, are things we have to put in. Those are the basics. A big initiative with support of the Department of Tourism now is to take three camps, big camps, off the grid completely through solar energy farms in those camps. And we're working with the department on those things to get that implemented. Currently, Tankwakaru and Wilderness are off the grid. And we'll continue to work on that going forward. It's a key initiative that we need to deliver on.
So, Chair, before I go, I just to also laugh at a bit sometimes. Glenn once said to me that, you know, we are installing the solar water heaters and the panels. He said that to me 2 years ago. And at times when you look at them, where after installing, you don't find them. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. They're gone. It's like leaving your house, going to buy groceries and open the house in the middle of nowhere and leaving it, your house open. We are working on those issues as well, because they are getting feet and walk. That's what he said to me 2 years ago. So I'm sure you'd recall that. Golden that Golden Gate. Golden Gate, that hotel, the new one, is fully green. Very green, yeah. And that's a movement forward where we're going. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Oh, there's one.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's just a question of understanding in terms of the way CEO has expressed it. As a Section 3A entity, we are certainly allowed to generate income, but the purpose must be to defray against your expenses. It's not intended necessarily that we must make a surplus. Yeah. And that's why I covered earlier when I said that at this stage we're doing pretty well. About 82% of our expenses are covered through the income that we generate. And therefore, then, that enables the reduction on the strain on the national fiscus. Thank you, Chair.
You wanted to add something?
Glenn forgot something about the Rangers. Also mentioned something.
Thank you. Chair, I think a key issue which Donnie just mentioned to me, we mustn't forget, is that in any time as a contact, is that we have to supply legal support to our rangers in terms of if one of them is found guilty of manslaughter, murder, we are going to sit with a major problem with them not wanting to do that job. So that is a key issue. So every time there's a contact, we have to fly, which is a huge cost, of course, legal support to these rangers. And psychological support, of course, after these contacts, which is a key issue as well for us. So that's the other aspect around this.
Why we need to win this war? I'm just thinking as a ranger. Here is a young one, 14, 16 years old, carrying an AK. It's either me or him. And he's the same age as my son. And so there is also a human side. So that's why we need to win this war at all costs, so that indeed we even stop this possibility of some rangers deciding to quit. And I think we have had those instances where some have said that I better go home, or some just lose it. You can't lose it under this circumstance. But what is more worried to me, and I'll write a book one day, I've been seeing in other countries people who will come and just shoot at people. Shoot at students at a university. Shoot at people in a mall. Now, if you have a readily available group that can go and shoot rhinos, hack them, what can make those people not to be recruitable by some people somewhere in the world who would like to have their type of governance or of religion being practiced anywhere in the world? I'm raising these issues because you know that the other day our security establishment was able to at least dissuade one young girl from here, Western Cape, from going to join some people somewhere. Because I think we must be thinking broadly why we need to fight this. It is in our interest. People might start, and this is what we said after we took the rounds, that people might start with these animals because it's lucrative to get these monies. But when somebody says that, I'll even give you more, because already you are a person who can be bought for any cause. You can then be bought by anybody, anywhere. And I can tell you, I know of some people, I'm told that they have industries. They are well managed. I've looked at their websites, how glossy and how wonderful, how well structured their website is. Some of these people who might indeed recruit these people, these young chaps who go to our parks and kill our rhinos. So I'm saying, colleagues, it's something that we should be taking by both hands. It's in our interest to fight this scourge, and it's in our interest to go to our neighbors. It's in our interest to go to any democratic state anywhere in the world to say, can we work together on this? Because I can tell you with my eyes closed, there's a one person that I worked with somewhere where I worked before I came here who will always say, with my eyes closed, I can tell you that we have got bigger things coming if we can't stop this. We have got bigger problems on our hands if we can't stop this. But let's thank you and thank the minister that Mozambique, there are signs of work that is starting to happen in Mozambique. And it's only good that we as a committee should go there. Should go there as soon as possible so that we go there and appreciate what they are doing. But also appraise their portfolio committee, their parliamentarians, of what might happen even with them if all of us don't stop this. When at least they are familiar with wars of people fighting among themselves, and they know they would like to go there. They would like to go there. So I think we need to go to Mozambique, we need to go to all those areas, but more importantly, we need to coordinate ourselves as parliament so that on this war, we are all focused and we are all looking at the same direction. We are not looking at different directions. But again, let's welcome your annual performance plan. We hope that you will improve where we said improve. Because you can't plan for a deficit when it comes to employment of people with disabilities. You can't plan for a deficit when it comes to employment of women, particularly at the highest level. Fundi, I know you are a male patriarch, but unfortunately we have laws and rules and policies that says we want women, we want to see them at the highest level. At least if you can't have 100%, have 50%. At least have 50% if you can have 100%. Yes. Yes. Indeed, 100% because we have had 100% of men for I don't know how many years. 100% of men, either in government or in presidents or in administration, 100% I can tell you that. And we are still very far from making amends on this question. Very, very far from making amends. We can break that parliament, but I don't know, 50% of women, we can break that even executive. But when you were to do analysis, when this amendment started, vis-a-vis this male domination ever since Jesus Christ was here, you can see that we still have a long way to go. It's the chairmanship in parliament, 50% is women, I can tell you that. 50% is women, 10% of the portfolio committees, 50% is women. But I think, colleagues, we will really appreciate the work that you are doing. It's very difficult, particularly this area of rhino. You know, whatever you come for to us on, rest assured, we will still ask you about rhinos. Whatever you get. You might come to us about these community things. We'll still ask the chief, how are we stopping the killing of our rhinos? We will still ask that question until all of us feel comfortable that we have won the war. It's a war. Therefore, we will not allow you to escape these questions. But thank you. You have answered in a manner that is credible. We know we might not have all the answers ourselves because some of the things we have no control over. Therefore, we cannot have all the answers. But let's continue to do our best. With those words, thank you very much to Sanfa. I've not had anybody who says that we must not approve your ATP. Nobody has said so. They've just asked you questions and also asked you to improve some areas there and there. I think if when is your food coming? Your food is coming at 1. Since your food is coming at 1, let them get to the second item, which is the medium-term expenditure framework, DIA. And the allocation for this year and the next, 3 years. Who speaks on that? Is that you, Alf?
Jay, unfortunately, as you're aware, the DG is away, and I happen to be the acting DG at the moment, so I'm unfortunately given this responsibility.
Congratulations. You should have told us long ago. By the way, colleagues of SANPA, we know that you can leave if you want to, but there is this thing called wasteful expenditure. And now there's food coming at 1. But if you have got to run, by all means, we have no difficulties. We know that you live in the bush. When we are here, you don't feel comfortable.